disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
A life down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Again, we bless and thank you for the power of your Spirit that works on our behalf to make our meetings possible. Not only our meetings, but our meeting with you, and that's what it's all about. So, Lord, may we be mindful tonight of your presence, the power of your Spirit, your love set upon our lives. We commit this meeting before you now. And all the saints who come into the room, we thank you for the blood of Jesus over the connection, and we praise you and thank you in advance for the work that you are going to do with us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In Jesus' name. Right, I have a title which we're going to talk about this evening and encourage you, hopefully. And our title is, Does God Demand Too Much? Does God Demand Too Much? And probably many who have encountered God, or maybe read the Word of God, or maybe has gone to a meeting or church for a few months or whatever it would be, there are many who hold the opinion that the ways of God are too demanding. Nobody can keep it, nobody can walk it, nobody can really attain the standard. And this is quite a universal thing. And if you talk to people, you will probably hear this come out in conversation. It might possibly have been our attitude and thinking also, or it could still be something that we can find that still rumbles away deep inside us at times, that I can't walk this, the demands are just too great, it's too way past my ability. And sometimes we can adopt this attitude. We don't necessarily say it in such words, what I'm saying now, but that can still be sometimes in our thinking and attitude. Well, hopefully, if that has been a problem or is a problem, then hopefully that can be eradicated, because we need to remind ourselves that God takes the initiative. And we would not be where we are now, we would not even have this meeting tonight, if he didn't take the initiative, if he didn't empower, if he didn't work in and through us for this to be possible. So we do need to remind ourselves of this, particularly, you know, with this last generation that we find ourselves living in, where technology seems to have just taken over in everything. It seems as though man is pioneering in whatever he puts his hands to. And it just seems that God is moved out of the equation more and more and more. But that's nothing new. Jesus foretold that these things would happen in the last days. So it should not take us by surprise. Well, let's turn to something familiar in the scriptures. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, and we're going to look from verses 14 through to 30. And this speaks about the parable of the talents, the parable of the talents, which of course we all know, we've read many, many times. But we want to glean a few things from this that possibly may speak to us, may speak to our situation, may speak to us how maybe we've been feeling over this season or whatever. So Matthew 25, and we'll take it up from verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, another 2, and another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. So we just stop there. In those first two verses, here we see that talents, gifts, are given out because God is going on a long journey, which means he's gone back to his Father. He sits at the right hand of his Father, and he now has given and is giving talents to the church, to those in the church. He's giving these gifts, and he gives gifts for a reason. And he gives them according to our ability. So he's not going to give a gift or gifts something that we cannot glorify the Lord in. So whatever God gives in the way of gifts in the church are obviously to glorify his name, but he's never going to give a gift of which you cannot glorify God in. Because it is the Holy Spirit who initially is doing this in and through each one of us. So he gives these gifts, as he speaks about in the parable of the talents, according to each ability. And carrying on in verse 16, he then says, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more talents. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. So we find there are 2 who have received 5 talents, 2 talents, and they go and they trade, they do something with it. In other words, they see these talents, these gifts, are able to glorify God. They have seen the ability, they have had a revelation of these talents given to them. So in other words, it's not on their own merits, it's not what they have done in which to deserve these talents. They have not worked at attaining these, they have been given them. The same as salvation is a gift given to us. For God first loved us. So everything comes from God, who gives graciously, lovingly to us. It is on the basis of how we receive from God. Salvation is a gift. And like all gifts, you can give a gift back, or you can throw a gift away. So with what God gives to us, he also gives revelation and insight to what he gives. Otherwise, all of us will throw it away. It will appear useless. So everything is supernatural. This is why I keep saying the Christian walk is a supernatural walk. It is not a natural walk. It's not a walk of the way of the world, the thinking of the world's destiny. We are called out from it. We are a called out people. The church is a called out assembly of people who now stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ. It is a supernatural work. It is a revelation. The same as the true Christian church is a revelation revealed to the Christian. This is why people in denominationalism cannot really understand or see the true revelation of what the body of Christ is and its function. All has to be divinely revealed to us through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit's ministry as He ministers the Word to us. And so it is the same with these gifts of the parable of the talent. But he who had received the one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And we read in a minute why he did this. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. What is the key word here? Faithfulness. And that is what God looks for in the house of God. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstances, stay with it. Tomorrow will be different. Next week will be different if the Lord tarries. But the key to the Christian walk is to stay with it. And God will work it out. Running away causes huge problems. And we've all tried to do it. And he goes on, he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, and good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. So God doesn't look at it in a cumulative sense like we do. Whatever God gives, no matter how great or small, if you are faithful over it, that is commendable in the eyes of God. That is the key to this. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Well, where is he getting that from? Who is telling him that? How does he come to that conclusion? When we see that he's given out these talents as a gift and shown that they can be multiplied by the power of the Spirit of God, where is he getting this mindset from? And brothers and sisters, this is where we need to be delivered. This is where God works this deliverance in our mind and heart and thinking. Because it's so easy to see that God demands too much. He wants too much from me. I can't attain this walk. He's a hard taskmaster. And of course the enemy tries to really put that one in our mind and thinking, does he not? And he says, I was afraid. And there is the problem. He didn't get delivered from fear. And with fear, so often what is attached to it is unbelief. Not really believing the word of God. And went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. So he said, well, I've hid it. So I've not spent it. I'm giving it back to you. And he seems quite confident about that. Look, I'm giving it back to you. What's the problem? But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we see two things that was a problem there. There was fear, he was afraid, and the second problem with that, he was lazy. He couldn't really be bothered. And so we need to keep that in mind, because that is what we have to be on our guard from. We all of us have to be on our guard, because laziness can so get in quickly, and fear can try and take over. And you get those two things working, you are no longer profitable. You are no longer active in the kingdom of God or in the church. So this parable is a warning of not using the resources within the Holy Spirit that he gives to us, certainly through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's not used in the gifts of the Spirit. And we know that God has set in the church those nine gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. And you see, to withhold these gifts in operation through our lives is hindering the work and the move in the body of Christ. And we all know what those gifts are. They're all recorded very clearly in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14. So we have gifts given to us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And God wants us, as the Spirit moves, in which to stir these gifts up for the edifying and building of the body of Christ. It's not just left to the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, as we see in Ephesians 4. They are very important ministries because they help equip and minister the body of Christ. But what is that ministry? What is that equipping? Well, part of that equipping is also the supernatural gifts that God sets in the body of Christ as well. Gifts of healing. How about diverse tongues? Diverse tongues is very important. There's more ignorance about diverse tongues than a lot of other gifts, and a lot of people don't understand it. But it can be a very powerful gift. It can be used in which to interpret, to prophesy. A gift of tongues may come out and should come out, of which then that is interpreted so the body can be edified and understand what is being said. I'm not talking about the sign of tongues in Mark 16. Because that's a sign that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking about the gift or diverse tongues. I believe the Lord has blessed me on occasion with diverse tongues. And having used it, speaking what you think is in tongues, someone has completely understood that language or speaking in that language. But it would never happen if I didn't open my mouth, if I didn't step out. That is the point. Peter never would have known to have walked on the water unless he stepped out. One word, come. So we have these gifts that God sets in the church, which is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, the deeper life is the doorway into this deeper walk in the Spirit. Because in the Spirit, there are these gifts. And these gifts can be multiplied. As they are used, so they multiply. The multiplication is in the edifying, the building up. It could be that faith, the FGA, we don't get any more added to this church because we don't bother to stir up the gifts. So what is the point? It could well be. I'm not saying that that is it, but it can be part of it. As well, of course, we know the fruit of the Spirit is absolutely paramount as well. You see, we're shown great promises in God's Word, are we not? And the problem is, we still don't always believe them. We read them, but we don't always believe them. There's still that area of unbelief and hardness of heart, which God has been honing in. We know clearly what it says in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, which I'll just read to you quickly. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. All the promises of God are yes and amen. So all these things that we read about, we open the Word about, all the promises in this teaching tonight are for you and me. But do we believe it? Do we want it? Are we hungry enough? Or do we still see that these gifts and how God uses us, do we still see it's about me? Or do we see that these gifts are about serving in the body of Christ, serving my brother, my sister? Well, I came to the meeting today. I certainly didn't feel like prophesying, but I sensed that I was to prophesy, but it was nothing to do about me. It was about glorifying God and edifying the body. That's very often how gifts will work. I don't always feel like preaching. I don't always feel like standing before you, ministering the Word. But it is a gift. And gifts have to be used, because it's in the using you multiply. That is the whole point. And it's about edifying, building up the body of Christ. It's about serving. Because if we didn't do anything, we wouldn't have meetings. We wouldn't have anything like this. So we see that these gifts are paramount in the house of God. And they come, as we have read to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 1:20, they come by reading, believing, embracing, receiving those promises of God. I receive it, I take it in Jesus' name for the glory of God. But it's also a warning, this parable, that we don't confuse our natural abilities, that is our education, our intellect, our background, what country we were born in, all of these things. You see, our capacity in spiritual things is measured on the basis of the promises of God. You are where you are tonight, and I am, on the basis of the promises of God and how much you believe them. See, it comes back to faith again, doesn't it? Trusting, believing God's Word. Can you believe that God can do that through your life? Can you believe that promise that you read there is also to be manifested in and through your life for the glory of God? Can you believe it? Do you believe it? These are questions that are very relevant. See, if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to work this in us, then we get less of what God has for us. And if we don't bother, or if we don't bother or allow the Holy Spirit to work these promises in our life, then you will start to say, you demand too much from me. You will start to get agitated, angry. It starts to affect your relationship with God. And in time, we find ourselves then falsely accusing him. And we'll say, you expect far, far too much from me. But he gives us the power in which to do it. And that's the point. Hallelujah. You know, what about the area of witness? You know, we're light in this world, and God has set us as witnesses, and we can sort of say, well, you don't give me enough time to be a witness. I have to work too many long hours. When I get in, I'm absolutely exhausted. And come the weekends, I'm too tired to do anything. Talk about being a witness. Or I don't have the intelligence. I don't have the ability to be able to speak. I cannot overcome. I can't overcome these problems. Or there's too deep of problems in my life. What witness am I to the world? And so on. We're all the while bringing up excuses before God, because we're not believing the power of those promises that can change our life through the Holy Spirit. Never allow your own natural ability to enter this equation. And yet we do sometimes, don't we? What does it say in Isaiah 40 and verse 29? Have we still got sound? Oh, we have. Okay, because I've got something come up on my screen. Praise the Lord. The enemy doesn't, he doesn't give up, does he? Hallelujah. Isaiah, where are we? Isaiah 40, verse 29. Isaiah 40 and verse 29, you know this one well. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And this idea of waiting on God is waiting prayerfully, in a prayerful attitude, seeking God for changes in your life. That's what it means to wait on God. That's part of our fellowship, commune with God. We're waiting on him so that I can be of use. These talents that you have given to me, these gifts that you've given to me, they can be of use to the body of Christ, to this dying world. It's because we don't have this relationship enough with God, that we don't spend this quality time with him, that we don't see these changes going on in our lives. But that's the key to it. The problem is, the world is still too strong. We're still too interested in the world and what it offers. And God still has to work that separation in our lives, where we're wholly and completely set apart unto him, that we can be of that use, like we read in the parable of the talents. Because otherwise, if we go on like this, we are going to start in our hearts, Lord, you just demand too much. I can't walk this. We get irritable, angry, because that's what happens. We have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and God expects the works and power of His Spirit to be exhibited in and through us. And of course, this is where the cross comes in as well, where that deals with all these problems. The cross will always reveal to us we're servants, we're nobodies. It's not about me. This walk isn't about me. It is about Jesus. It is about His glory. The cross will always keep telling you, you decrease, that He increases. That is its nature. And He empowers us by the Holy Spirit, in which this can be achieved and worked. And this is why we see in the parable that the servant justified himself. He was condemning the Lord. You are harsh. I was afraid. You see, that's what it does. It has a negative thinking of God. And that's, of course, exactly what the enemy would want. That's what he wants us to think. He wants us to think that God is like that. He's harsh. He punishes everything and everyone. He withholds all the promises and he doesn't give. See, prayer doesn't answer. I sought God, I interceded, I fasted and everything. Nothing happened. We've all been through that, brothers and sisters, and we've all felt that. And it's a trap that's so easy to fall into. And that servant, he did. Because he didn't do anything with what God had given him. He wasn't bothered about the revelation attached to that talent. He wasn't really that bothered about learning, being taught what to do with it, how to invest it, how to multiply it. And we take those same mindsets on. And this is where God is doing this deliverance in us, so that we are of use in the vineyard, all working for the glory of God. And so this servant couldn't fulfill. He certainly couldn't fulfill seeking first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and He says all these things will be added unto you, because he wasn't really seeking the kingdom. Thought he was, but it wasn't until the master came back, then all was revealed, and he hadn't really done anything about it. You know, the tragedy is we can sit under anointed teaching like this and yet do nothing about it. And we all have to be on our guard, brothers and sisters. But worry, fear, was the problem. And so you see, this servant, because there was worry, fear, he couldn't embrace the promises of God. They couldn't become a part of him. He couldn't experience them. Because where there's worry, fear, there will also be unbelief. And it's by faith that we receive. All the promises of God are appropriated on the basis of believing and receiving. And then you know how to act in accordance to that. You see, what it also does is when you find yourself critical against God, critical against your own brother and sister, or the ministry, or the ministers, or whatever, it will also cause you to start to become lazy in the natural realm. And they probably then say, well, you didn't give me a chance, or I didn't get a chance. You see, those who are lazy in the spiritual realm are critical of God, and they come against his word and criticize it. And they don't like others who want to believe the word of God, who want to act it and live it for the glory of God. They're critical in every way. And sadly, the house of God in Christendom, sadly, is filled with that. It's a tragedy. And a lot of it is as a result of this parable, the parable of the talents. Lazy people always strike out at others. I didn't have a chance. I wasn't like you. I don't have your ability. I can't talk like you do, or whatever it is. Always excuses. And you see, the master that returned wasn't going to have any excuses from him. He wasn't going to entertain it. And sadly, we see that he was cast out. He was unprofitable. He was of no use into outer darkness. We need to be of use for God, for his glory. Now, none of us can do it. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that works in and through us for his glory. But we have to believe that he will work that power in and through us, through me. That power is there. The promises of God's word are there. I believe, I expect it, I want it worked in and through my life, because it's not about me, it's about the glory of God. That is my motive, my aim. If you want these gifts for any other reason, you will be unprofitable. It is always on the basis to glorify God and to serve the house of God, to be that servant. That is the attitude and motive. Otherwise, it will never, ever work. Never work. You see, our ability for these talents lies in the promises of God. And the question is God able to fulfill his promises? I don't think we're always quite sure about that. We'll never say it openly, outwardly, but we're saying it in our hearts. Is God able to fulfill his promises? Some of us might have to just come clean and say, Lord, I want to believe that, but I'm not sure it's happening in my life, in my heart. Please change. Please work this. And whatever it takes to remove hindrances so that I have no problem, I have no hindrance, I have no unbelief where your promises are concerned. That is the faith we're to walk in these last days. And of course, we know that not only these promises are for this life, but they're also for out in eternity. You see, the wonderful thing about all of this is it doesn't just stop when you take your last breath. It doesn't stop when the Lord comes to rapture and take his church, his bride. This continues on throughout eternity. This is why this is an ever-ending word. It goes on. It will never perish. It will never die. God's promises are not only just for this life, but they're for eternity, and will be always there, continue to be fulfilled. Praise God, we'll have all those things removed, unbelief and hindrances and the enemy trying to attack. It'll be just living in a realm and existence of just simply believing. Doubt isn't even on the equation in heaven. Oh, praise God, I look forward for that. But nevertheless, Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're entering into it now, brothers and sisters. We don't have to wait. And that is what the good news of the deeper life is about. We are entering into it now. We're taking the land now. We're taking it back that has been stolen by the enemy. And that is why he's given these talents, which is part of it, to help build, edify the body of Christ. Because you're to walk a supernatural walk in these last days. You don't walk like the world walks. You don't think or act like the world thinks or acts. We are a supernatural people, empowered by the presence and glory of God and the Holy Spirit. We've got to start thinking like this. We've got to start expecting this more and more. And we will start to see the gifts of healing flowing, the casting out of demons, discerning the spirits. All these things, it makes our walk more and more supernatural, which is what it's all about. Do you want it carnal? Because that's how so much of Christendom still walks today. It's still carnal, they're babes. Just like the Church of Corinth. Do you want to walk like that? Is that what you want as your experience with God? God forbid. He saved us for far, far more than that. He's well able to work in me, both to will and do for his good pleasure. Let the almighty power of God, the love of God, start to take over our lives. Because it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. It's about the glory of God. And what talents you have been given, multiply them. Allow the Holy Spirit to use them in and through you for the glory of God. And this is what encourages one. This is what lifts you up. Because we need encouragement in the body of Christ. There's so much that is negative around. So much trying to hinder us and stop us. I think enough is enough. Let's start to look to a supernatural God who's making us into a supernatural people. Heavenly Father, thank you again this evening. Thank you for the encouragement of your word. Help us, Lord, to not only hear this word, but to live it, apply it, believe it, and wait on you as you work this in and through our lives. Lord, we desire to be used. We desire to reach out. We desire to be those channels filled with the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water flowing through us, touching lives, touching our brothers and sisters in the meeting, touching that dying world out there, Lord. Father, make us into a supernatural people in these last days, Father, we ask. And whatever it takes to do this, Lord, then do it. Because it's not about us, it's about the glory of God. That is what we're saved for. It is for your glory, for your name. So, Father, thank you tonight for our fellowship.
Let him in constancy fall.